Everyone thinks they know the profile of a manipulator. Confident, charming, seductive. But what if the most dangerous manipulator in the room is the quietest one? When Melanie and Derek Walsh hired a live-in babysitter to help care for their infant son, they thought they were welcoming a blessing into their suburban home. Grace was perfect on paper. Polite, soft-spoken, a recent college graduate from a Christian family. But perfection was her weapon. Within weeks, Grace seduced Derek. Within months, she claimed she was pregnant. And by the end of that year, she had turned the Walsh's marriage into a prison, and their home into a kingdom she ruled with subtle threats, emotional blackmail, and one horrifying ultimatum. What began as a desperate lie escalated into full psychological warfare. As Grace manipulated, gaslit, and dismantled an entire family, one whispered demand at a time. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The angel who moved in the Craigslist ad had read, "Live-in babysitter needed. Must be good with infants. Room, board, and monthly salary provided. Must have references." It was the kind of job posting that could have attracted all the wrong people. But Melanie Walsh had been desperate. Their infant son, Julian, was just 6 months old, and her return to full-time work as a CPA was non-negotiable. Derek, her husband, ran a small design firm out of their converted garage studio and couldn't handle full-time parenting either. The math wasn't working, and neither was the marriage. Enter Grace. She'd responded to the ad with a soft-spoken voicemail and an email that was almost too perfect. Bachelor's degree in child development, background in daycare, a glowing recommendation from a former church family in Vermont. Her profile photo showed a demure young woman with downcast eyes and ash-blonde hair tied back in a modest bun. When they met her in person, Melanie immediately liked her. Grace had that fragile sweetness women instinctively protect. She arrived at the door with a worn leather-bound planner and a homemade apple pie. Her clothes were plain but clean, her nails short and unpolished. She spoke in quiet, rhythmic tones that made Julian relax in her arms within seconds. "She's perfect," Melanie whispered to Derek that night in bed. "I actually feel safe leaving Julian with her." Derek had nodded. He wasn't as effusive, but he'd noticed something. Not just the way Grace looked at Julian, but the way she looked at him. By the second week, Grace had slipped into the house's rhythm with ease. She folded laundry without being asked, started baking fresh muffins before Melanie's morning meetings, and packed Derek's lunch in the same bag Melanie used to forget. But more than anything, she watched. Grace had a quiet intensity. She never gossiped, never asked personal questions. But her eyes missed nothing. She picked up on patterns quickly, like how Melanie's voice tightened whenever Derek forgot to take out the trash, or how Derek would retreat to his studio when Julian cried for more than 5 minutes. She learned the weaknesses of the house as if studying blueprints. She used praise like a scalpel. "You're such a good father," she told Derek one morning when Melanie was still asleep. "I can tell Julian feels safe with you." It was nothing, just a compliment. But Derek hadn't heard something like that in months. Melanie was drowning in schedules, and he felt invisible in his own home. Grace's voice was warm and maternal. Not sexy, not yet. The seduction was slow, deliberate. It started with proximity, a brush of hands while passing the baby bottle, laughter over a silly show she accidentally left on in the living room. The touch on his arm when thanking him for unclogging the guest shower. Innocent, always innocent, until it wasn't. 3 weeks in, Melanie went on a two-night work trip. Grace offered to cook dinner so Derek wouldn't have to worry about anything. They ate together on the patio while Julian slept inside. There was wine, just one glass each. Grace talked about her strict religious upbringing and how she had never really felt seen. When it started to rain, she didn't run inside. She stood under the soft drizzle and laughed. "You should try it," she said, holding her arms out. Derek stayed frozen in his chair. "I feel free in the rain," she said, meeting his eyes. "Don't you?" And just like that, the air between them changed. She walked inside barefoot, soaked and smiling. And for the first time, Derek didn't look away. The first time it happened, he told himself it was an accident, a kiss, a desperate moment of weakness. But Grace didn't cry or panic. She smiled. She placed a finger over his lips and whispered, "Don't worry. I won't tell anyone." That should have terrified him. But somehow, it made him trust her more. It became a game they never spoke about. When Melanie was home, they avoided each other. But the silence between them thickened. Every glance lingered. Every closed door was a possibility. Then came the lie. It was exactly 2 months after she moved in. Grace sat Derek down on the living room couch. She looked pale and shaken, holding a small plastic test in her hand. "I didn't mean for this to happen," she said, "but I'm pregnant." The color drained from Derek's face. His first instinct was denial. "It can't be." But Grace didn't cry. She didn't beg. She just placed the test on the table and walked away. Melanie found out 3 days later, by accident. She was looking for a pen in the kitchen drawer when she found a folded note tucked under a receipt. It was Grace's handwriting. "I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner. I wanted to make sure it was real. Derek knows. I hope one day you'll understand." Melanie didn't scream. She didn't even cry. She walked upstairs, found Grace reading in the guest room, and calmly said, "Get out. Now." But Grace didn't move. Instead, she smiled. "I think you should sit down, Melanie," she said gently. "There are some things we need to talk about." What followed was not a confrontation, but a negotiation. Grace said she had already spoken to a lawyer, said she had emails, texts, and photos from Derek, proof of an affair. If she went public, Derek's reputation would collapse. Melanie's firm would likely investigate her for hiring an unstable live-in sitter. Worse, the church daycare they all attended would know everything. Their son, Julian, would be the kid from the scandalized family. "I don't want to ruin anyone's life," Grace said. "I just want what's fair." "What do you want?" Melanie asked, fists clenched. "I want to stay. I want to stay in the house. And I want stability for this child." She placed a hand on her stomach. "Our child." "You're not pregnant," Melanie spat. "I took the test. You saw it. It could be fake." Grace's smile didn't break. "So let's go to a clinic together. Let's find out." The next few days were a blur. Derek confessed, sobbing, begging Melanie to forgive him. Melanie refused to speak to either of them. Grace, meanwhile, moved back into the guest room and kept her distance. But she didn't leave. Instead, she started wearing flowing dresses, her hands often resting on her belly. She began organizing Julian's toys by theme and color, rearranged the pantry, bought a label maker. She called herself the household coordinator, and started keeping a laminated weekly schedule on the fridge. With a smiley face next to Derek's date nights. When Melanie erased it, Grace rewrote it, this time in permanent marker. Derek tried to talk to her again, tried to ask what she really wanted, but Grace only replied, "You made this choice when you touched me. I'm just honoring the consequences." By the end of the month, Melanie started locking her bedroom door. Derek slept on the couch. Grace continued humming lullabies through the hallways like nothing was wrong. Then the ultrasound appointment happened. Melanie didn't want to go, but Grace insisted. "If you don't believe me," she said, "come with me." The clinic was real. The appointment was booked. But when the nurse brought them into the exam room, she looked puzzled. "Miss Harper," the nurse said, "we have you down for a psychological evaluation, not an ultrasound." Melanie turned sharply. Grace didn't flinch. "Yes," she said sweetly. "I've been under so much stress. I thought it was best to start there." Later that night, Melanie confronted her. "You're not pregnant," she hissed. "You never were." Grace didn't deny it. She just sat quietly on the couch, stroking a blanket in her lap. "You destroyed our marriage. For what?" "Because I was tired of being invisible," Grace whispered. "And you made it so easy." Melanie backed away, stunned. "You're leaving tomorrow." But Grace shook her head. "If I go, I tell everyone. I release the photos, the church, your clients, your neighbors. They'll all know what your husband did. I may not be pregnant, but I'm still a victim." "What do you want?" Melanie cried. Grace finally stood. "I want this house. I want control. I want to matter." And just like that, she had it. Derek moved back into the guest room. Melanie kept her job but avoided all social gatherings. Grace redecorated the nursery and took over every schedule, every grocery list, every calendar notification. She even started attending parent-teacher meetings for Julian and introduced herself as the Walsh's co-parent. People asked questions. They whispered. But no one dared confront her directly. She was the babysitter, the quiet one, the angel who moved in and refused to leave. Chapter 2. The Confrontation. 6 weeks had passed since Grace took control of the Walsh household. In that time, Melanie had gone from enraged to numb. Derek lived in a fog of guilt, increasingly isolated from his own wife and child. And Grace blossomed. She was no longer the quiet helper who stood in the background. She was the woman of the house now, whether anyone said it aloud or not. Melanie barely recognized her home. The dining room walls were now painted sage green. "For calm," Grace had said. New curtains, new throw pillows, a new lock on the guest room door. She reorganized the home office and slowly stopped asking permission to make decisions. Somehow, she always had a good reason. Julian was sleeping better. Derek needed structure. Melanie needed time for herself. It wasn't just manipulation, it was mastery. But something was cracking underneath. Grace had power, but she wanted devotion. And when she couldn't get it, she became dangerous. It started with small disruptions. Derek's studio files went missing. Important client folders wiped from the shared drive. Melanie's alarm stopped going off on meeting days. At first, she blamed herself. Then one morning, she noticed Grace near her phone charger at 3 a.m. "Just looking for my lip balm." Grace smiled. Then came the noise complaints. An anonymous letter was delivered to their mailbox. "Your babysitter screams at your child when no one's home. We've heard her. Do something before it's too late." Melanie's stomach dropped, but when she checked the nanny cam, there was no footage. The memory card had been wiped. When she confronted Grace, the girl didn't even blink. "That's sick," Grace said calmly. "Who would lie like that?" Melanie stared at her, studying her face. Nothing. No crack, no flicker. That night, Melanie took Julian into her bed and locked the door. The next morning, Grace left a note on the kitchen counter. "If you're going to treat me like a monster, I might as well leave. I hope Julian remembers me." It was guilt in a sentence, and it worked. Melanie felt a flash of panic. For all the lies, Grace had cared for Julian better than anyone. There were no bruises, no signs of harm, just control. Quiet, creeping control. When Melanie tried to talk to Derek, he flinched. "She'll ruin me," he whispered. "I can't lose my business. I can't lose Julian." Melanie snapped. "You already did." The breaking point came on a Tuesday morning. Melanie returned home early from work to find Grace in the kitchen, wearing her robe, flipping pancakes, Julian on her hip. It was the most domestic, twisted scene Melanie had ever witnessed. Grace smiled like nothing was wrong. "We were just talking about you," she said, bouncing Julian on her hip. "He missed you this morning." Melanie set her purse down slowly. "Put him down." Grace didn't move. "Now." Still smiling, Grace placed Julian in his high chair and walked toward Melanie. Her tone changed, just slightly. Just enough. "You need to be careful," she whispered. "Stress isn't good for a child." Melanie's heart pounded. She couldn't take it anymore. She went straight to the nursery, grabbed her phone, and called the only person she trusted. Her sister. Marissa was a paralegal, tough as nails, and allergic to bullshit. After hearing everything, she drove 3 hours straight to the house. "She's bluffing," Marissa said. "Even if she had photos, the law is on your side. She's trespassing. No lease, no parental rights, no claim to the child. You want her out? Get a lawyer, get police on standby, and serve her notice." Melanie's eyes filled with tears. "But what if she really does leak something?" "Let her," Marissa said coldly. "People love redemption arcs. You'll survive. But Julian won't survive if this psycho keeps pretending to be his mother." That night, Melanie sat Derek down. "I'm ending this. You can help me, or you can leave with her." Derek finally looked her in the eye. "Do it." The next morning, Grace was served with formal notice of eviction, backed by a restraining order pending an emergency hearing. The paperwork stated clear grounds: coercion, psychological abuse, and fraudulent claims of pregnancy to manipulate a family dynamic. Grace read the documents in silence. Then she smiled. "I'll give you a week," she said. "But you should know, once I'm gone, I will talk, and no one will believe you. They'll see a woman scorned, a fragile girl cast aside by the people she served." "You lied about a child," Melanie snapped. Grace blinked. "No one will care." She walked up the stairs and slammed the guest room door. The countdown began. Grace didn't pack. She didn't show signs of leaving. Instead, she ramped up the psychological warfare. On day two, Melanie found her wedding photo, slashed in the frame. Grace denied it. On day three, someone sent an anonymous tip to Child Protective Services claiming Melanie drank while breastfeeding. The agent who visited was polite, but it was enough to humiliate them. On day five, a blog post appeared online. "The Family That Lied. My Time with the Walshes." It accused Melanie of emotional neglect, Derek of sexual coercion, and the household of being toxic, cruel, and secretive. It was unsigned, but the voice was unmistakable. On day six, Grace finally began packing, but not before leaving one last poison pill behind. As Melanie walked into the kitchen to prepare Julian's bottle, she noticed a printed photo on the table. It was of Derek, shirtless, taken from their bedroom window. On the back, scrawled in Sharpie, "You can kick me out, but you'll never erase me." She handed it to Derek. "One more move and she'll get a lawsuit." Derek sighed, rubbing his face. "I don't think she cares about the law." On day 7, Grace left. She didn't cry. She didn't scream. She wheeled out her suitcase with her head high, stopped at the front door, and turned around. "Thank you for giving me a home," she said. "I really did love Julian, and maybe one day he'll look for me." Melanie held Julian in her arms, stone-faced. Grace walked out. And just like that, the spell broke, but the damage had already sunk in. 6 months later, the Walshes were still piecing themselves back together. Derek stayed in therapy. Melanie returned to her church circle, this time refusing to be silent. She told the story, every detail. And surprisingly, the community rallied around her. Grace never returned, but her blog posts resurfaced under different names, with comments from readers that read like worship. She was taken advantage of. She was the real victim. She exposed the darkness in a perfect family. Even without proof, people wanted to believe her, not because it was true, but because it felt true. One rainy evening, Melanie sat by the window watching Julian sleep. Her sister's voice echoed in her mind. "She didn't want your husband. She wanted you, your life, your identity, your power." Melanie stared into the dark and whispered, "And for a moment, she had it." The camera pans out on the Walsh home, quiet, still, safe, for now. But somewhere out there, Grace is watching and waiting. Because people forget that some predators don't use force, they use kindness. And the scariest ones are the ones who smile while they destroy you.